Before reading the scripture, though, let me remember a little bit about my trip to Nigeria. For our 2-week time frame, we had a guide by the name of Marcus. Did you get to meet Marcus, or had he already gone? Okay, he had already gone. He was going to be spending a month or two in Switzerland. Marcus is an amazing person. He learned a lot about Americans, or at least United States folk, from us. interesting band of ministers. Marcus was raised in a Muslim household. He was raised a Muslim. But then somewhere along the way, he encountered Christians in the EYN, the Church of the Brethren, over there in Nigeria. And he became one. He still has lots and lots of Muslim friends and is in good relationship with all of them, even though he has become a Christian. Marcus has not had an easy route. He is quite an entrepreneur. He is not a minister. He's a layperson there. One of the things I remember about him, and it's not a story that he shares all the time, but he had 2 children with his first wife. And then, tragically, she died. And he was starting again. He had a second wife, and we got to meet her and a precious little baby. Marcus, as I said, was our guide. He didn't tell us what to do. He was often asking us where we thought we should be going. What made him a good guide was that he was there when we had questions. He couldn't always answer our questions, but he could translate, and he could accompany us as we went through our journey. Remember that as we turn to this scripture from the book of Acts. Now, I suppose if you would like to follow along, you can find it in the Pew Bibles on page 955. I will be reading not from the Revised Standard, but from the New Revised Standard. This is a story, perhaps you're familiar with it, about a deacon by the name of Philip. Of course, if you're familiar with the story found in the book of Acts about the early church, you'll discover that deacons didn't always do what they originally called to do. God doesn't always act in the way that God is free to do as God will. Originally, Philip and 6 others were called by the early church to, as it put, wait tables. There was a conflict in the early church between those who were sort of, born and bred Hebrews. They were part of the family from the very day they were born, and from others whom they called Hellenists. These were people who were not necessarily part of the family, but they were convinced and came in after the fact. Think of old-timers and newcomers. And there was a division there because some of the newcomers were feeling like they weren't being paid attention to, especially their widows. They were not getting what they needed to. They were not provided for the daily distribution of food. And the apostles were saying, man, there's only 12 of us. We can't do everything. So you need to call people to wait tables and distribute food. And they did. They called out 7 people to be deacons. Of course, the deacons, as I said, didn't necessarily stick to waiting tables. The very first that is mentioned is Stephen. Stephen, who ended up preaching a longer sermon than Peter did on the day of Pentecost. And it got him killed. He was stoned. And then there's Philip. Philip didn't just wait tables. See, after the stoning, the church needed to regroup. And he left Jerusalem. We pick up his story in Samaria. Verse 26. Then an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south, to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a wilderness road, and perhaps we're remembering some things we've seen. We've heard in the news about Gaza, which is in the southwest corner of Israel. So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it. Must not have been going very fast, was it? Or else he was an Olympian. So Philip ran up to it and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. And he, that is Philip, asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" Question, when you turn your Bible, every time you open it and you're reading through it, do you understand what you're reading? This Ethiopian eunuch replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Quote, "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. Starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "Look, here's water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He, that is the eunuch, commanded the chariot to stop. And both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water. And Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more, and, this is the eunuch, went on his way, rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Now I ask you to be thinking about this, what I said about a guide. A guide is different, you know, from a teacher. A teacher, well, there are a lot of things that teachers do as we think about them, but teachers, you know, I'm thinking about what you said, Sharon, about all the things that have to get passed on in just a few more weeks of school. You're passing along information. But is that what a guide does? Does a guide just pass along information? Or does a guide do something a little bit different? In the case of Philip and this Ethiopian eunuch, there was this sense of accompanying and along the way sharing the story. Sharing a story. Of course, the big word proclaiming sometimes puts us in a different category because we don't think of ourselves as proclaimers. You know, that's something the preacher does up there, or that's what something somebody else does. But I think the whole purpose behind telling this story in the book of Acts, and these stories are told on purpose, is to try to move past some of these categories that we tend to think of. I mean, all those deacons broke out of their categories. And they did some new and different things. It wasn't just Peter and the others who were sharing the story. It was a fellow by the name of Philip. And he was served as a guide, traveling for a ways with this official from Ethiopia. Now that word eunuch gets in the way a little bit because some of us know what a eunuch is, but in this text we're not really sure if that's what it's implying, that he is somebody of questionable sex. Let's put it that way. That word is used in other categories to just mean a chamberlain, somebody who is high up But here is this Ethiopian eunuch who does not have a name. His name's derived from where he's from Ethiopia, the kingdom of Nubia, somewhere down in the nether regions of Africa. Someplace different. He is an outsider. An outsider. And here is Philip being led, being guided. See, Philip is guided also. It says that, well, in one place it says there's an angel that is guiding. In another place it's saying it's the Spirit. And in this story, it is even the eunuch himself who is providing some guidance. And Philip is open to, is listening for guidance, just as this eunuch is. He goes up and he shares the story. He just tells the story. And something about that story intersected, because there must have been some mention about baptism along the way, for this eunuch says, well, look, there's water. What's to prevent me? I mean, this is a fairly bold statement, is it? What's to prevent me from being baptized? And Philip must answer, nothing. And so they go. Guidance. Being open. To being led. Not to be taught. But to have someone with. Someone with. How can I understand if there is not someone with? Now, I know this isn't a story that involves women in any way, shape, or fashion, so why do we tell it on Mother's Day? Well, remember, this is the fifth Sunday of Easter. In the secular calendar, it's Mother's Day. But, you know, a parent along the way does pass on information. Yes, let's get to it. But a parent also is like a guide along the way. And in the process of growth of a child into adulthood, there's a point when, and it's not any particular point, it's sometimes just a fine wavering line, where a parent ceases to be like a teacher and becomes more someone who is just alongside, going along with. Guiding. But that guidance is not something that is imposed. It can only really be shared when the moment is right. Do you know what I'm saying? A parent cannot share part of their own story unless there is an invitation to share it. And we all go through that point in our lives when we're not open to hearing what someone will say. But only in the going alongside, the walking with, comes those moments, those rare moments, those transforming moments, when we are open to guidance. That's true whether the guide is a person like Philip, or a mother, or a father, or whether that guide is a messenger from God or the Holy Spirit. Are you ready at those moments when they come to share the story? The story doesn't have to be any particular way, but whatever it is, it's got to somehow involve the goodness of God, the good news. Because that's what Philip shared. He shared the story, the good news that he knew deep down in his very being. And that story was enough to spark something new in the life of this nameless Ethiopian eunuch. Of course, to go a little bit further down the story, I always wonder, you wonder why particular stories are shared in the Bible. I mean, we hear in the book of Acts about what happened to Stephen and what happened to Philip, but these other deacons, we don't know anything about what happened to them. And while we do a little bit later in the book of Acts have a little bit more on Philip down the road, we don't know much more about him. And the Bible doesn't mention anything else about this eunuch. However, in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church, that still is in existence, they look back to this event and say, this is sort of where the good news began, as this fella came home and served as a guide.